Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 5. Two verses I'd like to highlight. First of all, verse 34, Jesus says to the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." And then verse 36, where he speaks to Jairus after he had been told that his daughter had died, Jesus said, "Do not fear, only believe." This is our text. Now, there's one thing that we Americans don't like. It's waiting. I mean, what is it that is even worse than seeing the doctor or the dentist? It's waiting in that little room forever and in that chair for the doctor to finally come, right? At least that's how I view it. And why do we despise trips to the DMV? It's the inevitable long wait. We loathe waiting in traffic or in line at the store. I mean, they've got it now so that we will even do the store's job for them and check ourselves out just to save a few minutes. And why is fast food so popular even though the food is only so-so? Because of the wait. It's fast food. Our time, we say, is precious. And one more item on the list of things we don't like to wait for is God. Honestly, be honest, how many of you have ever waited anxiously for a prayer to be answered or a need to be addressed by God? Every one of us, right? And so you know what I'm talking about here. Waiting for the Lord can at times not only be frustrating, it can actually be discouraging. To us time-oriented and clock-obsessed, I have my saying that we are OCD, obsessive clock disorder people, it may seem like God is taking far too long to answer us, or even that an answer is not coming at all, we might think. And yet God's own word speaks to us often about this. By my quick word search this week, I found that at least 34 times the Bible talks about or speaks to the benefits of those who, quote, wait for the Lord. You see, waiting for the Lord is not only a test of our faith, it is what it means to have faith, to believe He is our God and Savior working in His time for our benefit and salvation. So, for those of us who don't like to wait, our Old Testament reading from Lamentations chapter 3 says a lot. There in verse 24, Jeremiah gives us a wise example. He says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in Him." And then we have this shocker in verse 26. "It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." It is good. You mean God is saying that I shouldn't be in such a hurry? That it's actually good to wait? That's not even American, is it? And it's not about being American. It's about being Christian. He tells us why in verse 25. "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." And later in verse 32 as well, "Though He cause grief, He will have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love." Dear believers, I'm asking you to keep those Old Testament truths in mind as we now turn to the story of Jairus in our gospel reading this morning. And as we walk with Jairus and Jesus, which we're going to do, we will see those truths from Lamentations come to life. Not only for him, not only for the hemorrhaging woman along the way, but for you and me in our own faith walk with Jesus today. When we first meet Jairus, he's not in a good place. His daughter is sick, gravely ill. As a synagogue ruler, he's a man of stature and influence in the community. That's back in the days where clergy actually were respected. That's not generally the case anymore. But Jairus certainly had the resources to get a high level of care for his daughter. But apparently, none of it was working. So Jairus came to this guy named Jesus, who, according to recent reports, had healed numerous people in the area. When Jairus meets Jesus, the true depth of his need is revealed. This prominent, this powerful man was willing to publicly, in the face of a crowd, put his pride aside and do the unthinkable. He, quote, fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded with him. My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. That's not the picture of a mighty man, is it? No. We see here a daddy who loves his little girl. A dad faced with the sickening fact that he can do nothing for the one that he would do anything to help or save. When Jairus speaks to Jesus, I am pretty sure that he is not saying, Jesus, whenever you're not busy, whenever you can fit it into your schedule, come along with me for a house call, would you? No. I'm sure he meant, come now! And we know for sure that Jairus, in faith, came to the right place for help, as we were talking about with the children. He came to Jesus. Again, Lamentations 3, verse 25 affirms this truth. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Jairus seeks Jesus out, and Jesus agrees to go with him to his house. Now, most Christians, I believe, have no problem seeking the Lord in faith when trouble comes their way. The problem, though, comes in the next step of believing and seeking the Lord. Waiting. That is, trusting, believing that the Lord has heard and is responding appropriately. If each of us, if we placed ourselves in Jairus' story, it's as if the moment that he urges Jesus to come to his daughter, the waiting begins. Mark shows us that it was not just a brisk, unobstructed walk to Jairus' house. There was a large crowd pressing in on Jesus, we're told, like vying for his attention as well. And then we're told of a woman who had been waiting. Waiting and suffering from a bleeding disorder for 12 years. She spent all she had going from doctor to doctor, hoping, praying that maybe this treatment, this will be the one. But her problem only got worse. She too looked at Jesus in faith and thought, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And so what did she do? She worked her way through the crowd, and finally she was able to touch his garment, where her faith in Jesus was proven right. She was healed. Being God, Jesus knew this. His power had gone out from him, we're told. And so he stopped. Now, what do you think Jairus must have been thinking right then? But Jesus knew the wait would do Jairus good. And so he focused his love on this patient, faith-filled woman. Now, I'm sure Jairus thought this was only a waste of valuable time. She was already healed, for crying out loud. She got what she needed from Jesus. So come on, Jesus, let's go. But friends, this is the beauty of Jesus' incomprehensible love. Each and every person, each individual in his or her own moment of need is important to Jesus. He didn't just want to heal her physically. He needed to talk with her face to face to bring healing to her heart, to take her further and deeper in her faith. Jesus' love, compassion, power, and grace pours out over this patient believer when he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." She waited quietly in faith for 12 years. And Jesus saved her that day and for all eternity. Now, it's easy, I think, for you and me to be touched by this interaction between Jesus and this woman. But what if you were Jairus? What if your daughter could be dying at that very moment? Even as I'm sure you would be trying to feel happy for the woman, your stress-filled impatience would likely be saying, "Jesus, we don't have time for this." And then, what would you think even then, of this delay when messengers come from your house and they blurt out with all the compassion of a sledgehammer, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" That had to knock Jairus to his knees in profound grief. "I'm too late. I waited too long." I mean, he might even be tempted to think, "The Lord is too late. He waited too long." But Jesus overheard the announcement, ignored the death itself, and now addresses Jairus face to face in love, compassion, and grace, just as he did with the woman a few minutes ago, with these words that every one of us should remember whenever extreme difficulty tries to knock us down. "Do not fear, only believe." Do not fear, only believe. This is a profound insight into the relationship between Jesus and his believing children. Rather than accepting the notion that the messengers conveyed, Jesus was no longer of any use to Jairus since his daughter had died. That all of this had only been a nuisance is what the messengers were saying. A nuisance to Jesus. But Jesus instead quickly gets Jairus back on his feet and shows him that he is always with his children who are in need. And he is with us for the long haul. You see, faith not only comes from God to us, but its true substance and power is seen when the Holy Spirit works to sustain and keep that faith alive every day in every circumstance that we face, assuring us that no matter what happens, we are today and always in God's gracious and saving hand. Yes, Jairus' daughter, she was dead. But Jairus held on to Jesus in faith. And when they arrived at Jairus' house, the challenges to his face, well, that's when they went into full swing. The weeping and the wailing of those in grief was nothing but a bunch of unnecessary commotion, verse 36 says, to Jesus. And so Jesus paused again and calmly announced, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." And here we see this amazing contrast, this great contrast between Jesus or Jairus' obedient response of faith and the way that the mourners view Jesus' declaration over death. In unbelief, they rejected Jesus. They responded with laughter, it says. Much like unbelievers laugh at Jesus, like they laugh at us today when we share our belief in his victory over sin and death through the cross and the empty tomb. And they may not laugh out loud at us, but they likely are laughing inside at us. But it doesn't and it shouldn't change our faith. Jesus, he remains calm. He's in control as he takes Jairus and his wife, as well as Peter, James, and John, into the room where a little girl lay dead. And with little fanfare, the author of life simply reached down, took her by the hand, and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is Aramaic for, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Now there's no waiting. Now there's no hesitation. Verse 42 says, immediately the girl got up and began walking. The waiting was over. The Lord had answered. He came in his perfect timing on his terms, very important, and he brought life, joy, peace with him into a situation where death, impatience, and conflict were trying their best to take control. So now you tell me, what was Jairus thinking now? Verse 42 says, they were immediately overcome with amazement. Duh! Certainly, he and the others were praising God now. But I wonder if, after some reflection, Jairus, remember, he's a synagogue leader who undoubtedly knew the scriptures well, I wonder if he may have had a couple of verses from our Old Testament reading going through his heart. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For his waiting in faith had now not only brought him the joy of his daughter's new life, but it undoubtedly increased his faith in Jesus as well. Jairus' story, as well as that of the woman along the road, may have happened almost 2,000 years ago, but they are our story here today. Because every one of us, one day, if you haven't already, one day faces great pain, grief, and anxiety deep in our hearts and souls. Maybe it really is a daughter or a son who is ill or who dies and is not raised back to life by Jesus just yet. Maybe it's an ailment that we face like the woman in our text. Maybe a chronic condition that we've struggled with for years. Maybe a new one that catches us off guard. There's some of you in this very room who have already in your life spent tremendous amounts of time waiting with unknowns. I can look at Richard back there and Greg here who waited. Maybe they didn't even know they were waiting because some of the time they were unconscious in the hospital. But Judy was waiting. I was waiting. We were waiting for the Lord and his salvation. But maybe it's not that kind of thing. Maybe it's a broken relationship that hurts just as deeply. Or a situation in which we feel trapped with no reasonable way out. Be it emotional, financial, or spiritual in nature. Whatever it is, remember Jesus and Jairus. And specifically, think of Jesus on the cross, where he closed his eyes and he died your death and my death so that he can now take your hand and mine and lift us up upon his arrival and say to us, "Little child, arise." Yes, his resurrection, you see, makes that possible. His resurrection is the guarantee that we have in faith that death has been defeated. Today and forever. It does not and it cannot ever change. So whatever your need, whatever your concern, whatever your request may be, when you approach Jesus, your Lord, in faith, remember, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And while you wait, walk closely. Walk patiently in faith with your Savior. Live daily in His Word and His comfort. Be with Him here as you are right now so that He can feed you His love and forgiveness, so that He can strengthen you with His body and blood at His table to heal you in your time of need. Remember that the Lord is good to those who seek Him. And quote, though He cause grief, He will have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love. Unquote. Or, you can simply remember what Jesus said. Do not fear, only believe. Believe in Jesus, the Lord of your life, the Savior of your soul. No matter the wait, that will never, ever change. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus, today and forever. Amen.